officially is over on the 21st. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So you could do what you want after that. You know, now some people go to the 22nd. That's on them. You know what I'm saying? But as far as me and my house, it's over. All right? And me and my wife, we used to wait till the midnight on the 20th. And we sneak out and go to Waffle House. You know what I'm saying? We waiting the whole way on Waffle House. That's what we used to do. You know what I'm saying? Be late at night. We send the kids go sleep by, you know. We be in Waffle House late at night. And the people be looking at us eating. Because on the fast, you always got something you want on your heart. You know what I'm saying? They didn't mess around and open the new KFC off University. Struggle is real. I got to watch my kids eat that stuff. All right, so listen, you know, so the fast is over, amen, on Monday. Tuesday, we come in for Bible study on the 22nd. No prayer Thursday. Let me see. We're going to continue the volleyball games on Saturday. That's been working out good for y'all, amen. Allow us to do nothing on Sunday, amen. And we also, we're going to just continue feeling united. We're going to continue feeling united. We're just going to continue. And our chief administrator, first lady, she going to be ordering new chairs, extra chairs, and she's going to be doing some other things to help alleviate the burden. But we just want to stay together for a little while. Amen. For the health of the church. Amen. Amen. We just want to stay together for a little while. It just feels good when we together. Amen. I don't know if that praise would have happened like it happened just now. If it wasn't feeling united. You know what I'm saying? It just feel like dancing with everybody in here. You know what I'm saying? First lady, that's right. All right, all right. Just want to make sure I'm saying that's right. All right, so Isaiah 58, you got anything else? All right, Shalanda, we got anything else? John, what you got? Harvey, you got something? John Mark, you got something? All right. Brian Cormier, you got something? All right, let's go, y'all. Let's go. All right, Isaiah 58, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit. Like I said, we're going to do like a little quick point. We're going to get out of here. 58:1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the clotheless, that thou should cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking in vanity. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray you had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't say, but if we have any visitors in here, just kind of throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Amen. Hallelujah. I see some in the back. I see some up here. Amen. So we want to praise God for our visitors. Amen. We thought we was riding, amen, down Mall Street. I think it was Mall Street. My wife said it was one of those streets. She said he looked like he was in Atlanta, School of the Hebrew. And when she sees something, she normally is pretty much right. Her eyes are pretty straight, pretty good. And so if we have visitors, just tell our ushers, and we'll give you a visitor bag, amen, at the visitor center. And we're just happy to have you, amen. All right, y'all, let's go ahead in this book of Isaiah and talk a little bit. Remember, Isaiah is what we call a major prophet. His name means the Lord saves. And he is one of the prophets who speaks about Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the most in the Old Testament. This is the book where we have the famous Isaiah 53, amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah lived during the time, amen, of a few different kings. He lived during the time of King Uzziah. Remember in Isaiah 6, he'll say, in the year that King Uzziah died, amen. He lives during the time of Jotham, of Ahaz, and probably and most possibly during the time of Manasseh. Church tradition and history tells us that Manasseh was the one who actually executed, amen, Isaiah. And the reason was because Isaiah never held his tongue. He always spoke what thus saith the Lord. And in our current text in chapter 58, he is reading the people of Israel once again and telling them about their fast. Amen. And in a nutshell, Isaiah was telling them, okay, you're fasting, good, that's fine and dandy. But you're fasting for nothing because you're fasting wrong. Amen. And he begins to tell them both the positive and negative commandments of God in regards to fasting. He first tells them the things that they should stay away from when fasting. Stay away from grudges and unforgiveness and strife and quarrels and debates and arguments and fights. And you'll be tempted to do that, but you got to do your best to stay away from those things. Also, transient and temporary pleasures of sin for a season. You do your best to stay away from that in a fast because it's going to make your fast less effective. But he also says, amen, some things that we should do while we're fasting. He said things like share the gospel, amen, pray for the bound in prison, feed the hungry, shelter the poor, clothe the clotheless, amen. Make sure to take care of your relatives and your family. And these are the things that God says, if you do these things, amen, he says you'll be performing what God coins a chosen fast. Somebody say a chosen fast. And by the time we get to verse 8, he tells us what God rewards us with for doing a chosen fast. He says then. And we covered a few of them. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And we saw the manifold things in the Hebrew that this light represented. It represented, amen, joy and prosperity and salvation and new birth, wisdom and revelation. And last time we talked about, amen, he says, then your health will spring forth. And we was talking about just the availability of supernatural healing while we on a fast, amen, because both our bodies and spirit is ready, but also the vessel that lay hands is really at optimal, amen, hallelujah, apex level of healing. And so healings happen when we fast. Then we talked about thy righteousness shall break forth. And we said not only healings are more likely to happen during a fast, but deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. Deliverance is more likely to happen during a fast. Where you come up to the altar and you ask God to help you with a particular situation, he'll give you that bump, that breakthrough, amen, to give you a little more strength to survive, amen, the temptations for a season, amen. And so we'll continue this morning, amen, and we'll look at verse 8, amen, verse 8 again. And I have all three, but I think we'll cover one. You know, and we'll see our time, but I think one will do, you know, and if our time spare, we may do two, and if it do really, we'll do it. No, I'm just joking. Let's just try one for now, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, try one. All right. Look at your other neighbor and say, pray he try one. All right? Just, you know, that's awesome. Just try one. Right. And this one is a good one, man. If you look at verse 8, you know that word is so rich. In verse 8, he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. And here it is. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. All right? And so the point that I have for you this morning is the glory of the Lord. I think that's it, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The title is Rear Guard. Amen. What's the first point named, Brent? Let's look at it. Let's see. No, that's not it. Keep on going. Amen. Yeah. The glory of the Lord. All right. Saints of God, that word glory in the Hebrew is the word kavod. Somebody say kavod. All right. All right. And that word kavod, amen, means weight. It means heavy. All right? And it's one of the words that describes God's presence. Amen? Another word that's used in our Bible to describe God's presence is Shekinah. Somebody say Shekinah. Not Shaka Khan, Shekinah. All right? And it's the glory of God. See, me and Deacon was talking the other day during Thursday prayer, and sometimes you could be in the presence of prayer or praise and the room get hazy. All right? And those, amen, that can't recognize the presence just yet, you think something wrong with your eyes. You begin to rub your eyes and stuff like that. You're like, what's going on? I'm getting old. No, it ain't you. No. It's the glory. It's the presence. Remember when Solomon offered and he offered the temple, amen, the cloud came in, all right? And so when you see that, amen, and I saw it this morning, there's a haze over you. Y'all dancing and stuff like that, and I'm looking and there's a haze, all right? And it's the Shekinah, it's the glory. And another way you can describe it is the kavod. Because anywhere the cloud is, the presence is, there's a weight, all right? And you not only can see it, sometimes you can feel it. Woo! You hear the old Puritans and the old prayer warriors talk about the weight of his glory, all right? And sometimes those of us that preach, amen, when you get off the altar, amen, you're spent. You barely could walk and you feel like you're exhausted, amen. And you're exhausted because the weight of his glory been on you. It's like you've been walking around, amen, with 225 on your back. Amen. And that's the kavod. That's the weight of his presence. And you can feel it sometimes. You can not only see it, you can feel it. You say, Pastor, why is God so heavy? He's so heavy because when he show up, he loaded with benefits. Anybody hear me up in here? He loaded. The Bible says he never show up empty. Never show up empty. When he show up, his reward is with him. When he show up, the Bible says there's healing in his wings. Whatever you need is in the presence. You just got to grab it at the presence. That's why it's kavod. That's why it's heavy. Anointing is there. Healing is there. Revelation is there. Wisdom is there. Breakthrough is there. Deliverance is there. Whatever you need from God, you can find it in the kavod. Anybody hear me up in here? Come on, reach into the kavod and grab you something. Come on, grab you something. Grab you something out the presence. The presence is here. He don't show up empty. He don't show up empty. Somebody say kavod. The weight of his glory. You see? So it says, the glory, the weight of his glory, the glory of the Lord, the kavod of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. All right? Now, you got to understand that word rear ward in the King James is spelled a little funny. Amen? But what it actually means, amen, that word ward means to guard something. Something that's protected. All right? In the legal field, amen, when a child, amen, is abandoned or have no parents, they say that they become a ward of the state. Anybody ever heard that before? It means that the state is protecting them. And so when they say that God will be your rear ward, it means that God's going to be your protection from the backside. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? In everyday vernacular, we would say that God is telling us in this particular verse right here, God is looking at you and saying, I got your back. Don't worry about what's coming back from behind you. You keep pressing forward. I've got your back. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? You see, the chosen fast, amen, employs God as your rear guard. Amen? Somebody say rear guard. All right? In military terminology, all of the generals who knew anything about war not only had people to do battle pushing forward, but in the back of the column, in the back of the battalion, they had men that would watch the rear. So you had the vanguard in the front and the rear guard in the back. The vanguard was made up of scouts and people who can track and trail and scout out, amen, what a major column of soldiers was going to be, amen. So they were protecting the front side. But the rear guard was there to make sure that no enemies would come from behind or flank the major battalion of men, amen, so they wouldn't get in trouble, you see? All right? In life, amen, sometimes you got to watch your back. All right? Sometimes you'll meet enemies that tell you that. They're so mad at you, they tell you, you better watch your back. And if you participated in this chosen fast, and you a child of God, you turn around and say, I ain't got to watch my back. The Lord is my rear guard. Anybody hear me up here? All right? For the Christian, the Bible describes us having the armor of God. And it was synonymous to the Roman armor. And you had the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the belt of truth, amen. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and the sword of the Spirit. The only problem with the Roman armor was that they didn't have no protection on the backside. If you saw the Roman armor, amen, it was flashy and brilliant, brass and bronze on the front, but in the back was just leather. Nothing that can stop a sword or an arrow, you see? And that's what they say that Paul was meaning when he was explaining the Christian armor of God. There's nothing on the backside, all right? And the Romans did that so that none of their warriors would ever turn their back and run. You always face the enemy. You always move forward. You turn your back and run, you're in more trouble. So the Christian is to press forward. We never turn and run. We always seeking to gain ground and never seeking to lose. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And we ain't got to worry about our backside even though there's no armor on it. Because the Lord is our rear guard. Come on, give God some glory. God says, I got your back this morning. I got your back this morning. You see, the rear guard was awesome, y'all. You see, not only could they guard from hidden danger. See, because sometimes, amen, a smart general, hallelujah, insurrection warfare, amen, guerrilla warfare, amen, oh, hide, Brother Harvey. Especially when they got smaller forces, they'll hide, Brother Sam, and let the big force pass them and then pop out from concealment and attack them from behind. We saw this in Deuteronomy when the Amalekites attacked Israel when they was leaving Egypt. They was attacking them from behind, killing, amen, the weaker of Israel. They didn't have a rear guard at that moment, right? And God trained them after that, and the tribe of Dan was always the rear guard of Israel after that. Anyway, let's keep on going, lest I digress. All right? When you have guerrilla warfare, listen, listen. These people pop up, amen, out the ground. Pop up from behind trees and concealment, and they'll attack the larger body. So the rear guard protected them from hidden dangers. Somebody say hidden dangers. All right? In your Christian walk, there's going to be some things that pop up on you by surprise. Things that you can't foresee. Accidents and things that happen to, hallelujah, spouses and children and things that happen on the job. And listen, I'm not going to sit up here and lie like no bad things happen to believers. All right? Believers done been laid off before. So things happen by surprise. And when God tells us, I'm your rear guard, he's telling you, don't worry about surprises. Don't worry about unexpected challenges and things that's going to pop up. Don't worry about that because I got your back. They could lay you off if they want. They was never your provider. Yahweh Jireh is your provider. All right? Accidents and sickness can come if it won't. They was never your healer. Yahweh Rapha is your healer. Anybody hear me up in here? Trouble can come if it won't. Hallelujah. Yahweh Shammah is your peace. And he gives us the peace that passes understanding. God telling you this morning, Philly, I got your back. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. The rear guard also acted as reserves. When the big army got in trouble, Brother Felton, they fighting out there, and the big army in trouble. They get tired. And sometimes the fight gets tired. All right? But the rear guard would act like a reserve. Amen. For those in basketball, a six man. Somebody that can come off the bench and turn the game around. You understand me? All right? That's the rear guard. When the larger army is in trouble, they can come in, John, and turn the tide of the battle. Change the situation. All right? Somebody say rear guard. Rear guard. And that's what God is saying to you in your life. When you get tired of the fight, of the struggle, of the pain, God is saying, don't worry about it, because I'm going to send you fresh strength from on high. I'm going to bring a reserve right back in. And when the devil got you down, he think he got you. Hey, God, hear your rear guard coming. Your sixth man. Your fourth man in the fire. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say rear guard. You see? And he'll change the tide of the battle. You see? That's why the Bible says, amen, that when we are weak, he is strong. All right? And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. All right? He's our rear guard. One of the examples of the rear guard, amen, is in Exodus chapter 14. Amen. I'm going to try to put it up there for you. Amen. Hallelujah. But in Exodus 14, Israel found themselves in a bit of a pickle. Amen. They had just been released. I say they, but we had just been released from Egypt. Amen. And we moving on down on our way to the promised land. And Pharaoh changes his mind, y'all. Pharaoh say, what did I do? I let go of all that free labor. All them strong Hebrews that can jump high, run fast, and pick up something. Amen. If y'all saw Tyrone take that basketball and hit that volleyball out the ceiling, y'all know what I'm talking about. I told my wife, Tyrone threw that basketball like a baseball. Huh? Yeah, he threw it like a rock. He went like that. Thing went boom. I'm happy it didn't go through the ceiling. And so Pharaoh said, I'm not letting go of my Tyrones and my Jerrions and my Passions and Brians. I'm not letting them go. They got a bunch of energy. They work hard. So the Bible says he began to pursue them from the rear. All right? And the Bible in 14:19 says that when Egypt came close, and they was going to attack him. The Bible says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, see, because the beautiful thing about God is he could not only be your rear guard, he could be your vanguard too. Because he's omnipresent. He could do both at the same time. He could be your shepherd, amen, and the person protecting you from behind. He's just an awesome God. Somebody say, omnipresent. That's how he is. And so the Bible says, an angel of God which went before the camp of Israel when Egypt was coming from the backside, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And in verse 20, amen, I don't know if we have it, but Brad, if we have it, get to it, but I'm going to read it and y'all can listen. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Here's my word for you prophetically. God is going to come between you and your enemies this morning. Because of your fast. He's going to come between you and your enemies. You and your problem. You and your struggle. You and your trial. You and your bills. He's going to come between that. And I done seen myself pray that before. When I'm in spiritual warfare, sometimes I say, Lord, and that devil, I can feel him. I say, Lord, get between me and the devil. Put that cross between me and him. Because if he see that cross, he's going to tuck his tail between his legs and he's going to run when he see that cross. He's going to run. All right? How many people want God between them in trouble? All right? That's the rear guard. Amen? And the Bible says, amen, and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to Israel. Now, this is awesome. The Bible say that the same cloud was on one side darkness to Egypt, but the cloud on the other side for us was light to show us the way to go. Anybody hear me up in here? So what God gonna do when he get between you and your enemies, amen, he gonna blind them. They won't know how to attack you, where to attack you, how to hurt you. Amen. They won't be able to even see you to hurt you. They're going to be looking for you. Where they at? If I could just see them, I'm going to bite them. I'm going to grab them. But they're not going to be able to see you to hurt you. All right? So they can't see nothing. But on your side, you're going to be able to see everything. Anybody hear me up in here? And my God does it. God does it. God blinds our enemies. Amen. And he gives us revelation, discernment, wisdom, and favor and grace. That's what the chosen fast can do for you. That's what the rear guard can do for you. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. And the Bible says it gave light by night to Israel so that the one came not near the other all the night. And I love that. You see? Because sometimes we could worry about problems that God, he got us. And they'll never touch us. They'll never touch us. You're going to go through the fire and not be burned. You'll go through the water and you won't drown. All right? They won't touch you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're going to come out the fire. And not only will your skin not be burnt, but your clothes won't even smell the smoke. I don't know who I'm preaching to in here. Come on, let me prophesy, I tell you. Come on, I need you to receive this word here. Somebody say rear guard.
Rear guard.
That's what the Lord going to be for you. You see? You see? Now, there are some of you afraid of some things. You afraid of some of the things that I talked about. You one of the ones who never sow because you're always looking at the clouds. You never progress because you're always worried about the unforeseen things that can happen. You never buy the car. You never get the house. You never open the business. Because you got a spirit of fear on you. A spirit of timidity. And when God telling you to move forward, you can't move forward because you're worried about the snag in the carpet right in front of you. God, I might trip. God, the economy might fall. Since when the economy ever had anything to do with the blessings on the people of the Lord? Since when? Since when? But we stay stagnant in life. We never progress in life because of fear. The Bible says the fear of man worketh a snare. And a snare is a trap. And a trap keeps you in one place. The trap is to hold you, to ensnare you until the hunter come. And for some of y'all, the devil have you in one place. Fear has you ensnared. And you're not moving forward because you're not trusting your rear guard. You're putting all the burden to see what's coming on you. You're putting all the burden to see what's coming from behind on your vision. Let me tell you, you don't have eyes on the back of your head. Anybody hear me up in here? I know you value your peripheral vision, but it ain't that good. All right? There's some things that's going to happen that you can't see. But you got to keep moving in spite of. Come on, give God some glory. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, if your leaders of this church was like that, we would never have this building. If the leaders of this church was like that, we would never have, amen, the 14 acres on University. If your leaders was like this, we would never have the 22 acres in Church Point. If your leaders was like that, we'd still be in MP Moss, or we'd still be somewhere in my office, amen, on Moss Street. We'd still be 20 people. Because you could never grow unless you enlarge your territory. Anybody hear me up in here? And you will never enlarge your territory while you got a spirit of fear on you. Listen to me. Listen to me. You got to take risks sometimes. You see, that's why God had loved Peter so much. Yeah. It wasn't that Peter said all the right things. It wasn't that Peter did all the right things, Mike. But Peter took risks for the Lord because he trusted in him. So when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Lord, bid me to come. Anybody hear me up in here? While the rest of them were saying, I'm good right here. Peter said, nah, I want to walk on the water. I want to do the extraordinary. All right? And some of y'all afraid of the extraordinary. You don't push yourself. You don't step out. And when you don't push yourself and step out, you live an ordinary life. See, you see, I don't know about you. I don't want to live an ordinary life. You know, and some of y'all look and you say, Pastor, it's going good already. Listen, this ain't enough for me. I don't know if they feel me, Kim. This ain't enough for me. You know what I'm saying, Jay? It's not enough for me. You see? It's not enough for me because I know who's my rear guard. You understand what I'm saying? I know who got my back. So if God is behind me and got my back, brother-in-law, how in the world I'm going to be satisfied with anything? Oh, no. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hey, God. The seas and all that they're in. All right? So listen to me. That rear guard, that word for you this morning should stop you from being afraid. I want you to imagine yourself with his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. His wings are behind you. His wings, you walk in, but it ain't you that they see. You got somebody behind you. Somebody behind you. It ain't just you. You got a rear guard. All right? So what you afraid of? Peter said, nah. Bid me to come. Somebody say, Lord. Bid me to come. You see? Don't be afraid of unexpected things. The Bible tells us clearly, you know, sufficient for the day is evil enough. Let me keep on going here. Pastor, what else can come up from the backside that we could be worried about? All right? our past can come up from the backside. We got some of you, amen, the devil have you in constant fear and anxiety that your former life gonna come back to haunt you. That the things that you've done, amen, gonna come back to burn you. All right? I got a word for you before I leave the platform. With God as your rear guard, he's going to make sure your past stay right where it belongs, in the past. As long as you put it under the blood, as long as you get saved and you love the Lord, amen, and you serve the Lord, it could be your testimony, amen, but that's all it's going to be. All right? See, some people can't live, hallelujah, planning for the future because they're always looking back in the past. All right? I want to give you a release this morning. And I want to release you from all of that. I want to release you from all of that. Past what, Pastor? Past sin. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's under the blood. Because we all have it. All right? And we got to learn as a people to even release one another of past sins. Oh, y'all not hearing me. See, I got some that say amen and some that say, Pastor, wait, that's my ace in the hole now. That's how I get my new curtains. I bring up what he did. That's how I do what I want to do. I want you to release him this morning. I want you to say, I won't bring it up again. I release it. God at your rear guard is going to keep that. I have brothers coming here with past charges of past crimes. And I got brothers, amen, that tell me the miracles of God. But God will even shield them and protect them from old stuff that they know they did wrong. Anybody hear me up in here? And I'm not going to say all the time, because sometimes there's still some things need to be worked out, Mike. But as your rear guard is not going to be as bad as it could be without him back then. There's some he's going to just dismiss the charge altogether. Others he's going to say, I still got some things to work out of you. Come sit down for a little while. But at the end of the day, it's all going to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That's what happens when God is your rear guard. It's never going to hurt you. It's never going to break you. It's going to make you. Now look, I'm winding down. As a people, we are entering a time of gaining territory. The Hebrews. All right? I don't know if you could see it and feel it, but I can. It's a season of advancement. All right? We're about to enter a realm of reaping. All right. Everything that was ours, everything that was promised, everything that was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everything that was labored for in this country, every bag of cotton, every sack of potatoes. Every whip on the back. Every tear from separation from a mom and a child. Every criminal, sinful, unlawful rape. Listen to me. It's about to be reaping time. Brian, they don't know what I'm talking about. Them people gave blood for what you're about to receive here right now. In this year, all the hymns on the plantation, all the prayers, all of that is about to just show up in this year, and it's going to overflow. It's going to overflow. It's going to be too much. It's going to be too much. 400 years of sowing is about to mature in our generation. Hey! 400 years of sowing is about to mature. It's about to mature. The harvest, the seeds are coming up. Come on, tell your neighbor that. Come on, tell your neighbor the seeds are coming up. Come on, tell your other neighbor the seeds are coming up. 400 years of it. I'm telling you, listen, remember we said Jehoshaphat. Come on. He said, they that believe the Lord shall be established. Jehoshaphat say, and they that believe his prophet shall prosper. Listen, believe what I'm telling you. If you don't believe it, you're going to remain stagnant. You got to leave here with a revelation that is harvest time. You got to, come on, shake your head if you believe it. Shake your head if you believe it and you receive. Just shake your head. You know what I'm saying? The workman is worthy of his wages, y'all. And we hadn't gotten them yet. So, Pastor, why you bring that up? I bring that up because as we advance, it's going to be important to have a rear guard. And it's going to be important to know that as a people, that God is making a deal with us. That I need you to focus on moving forward. I need you to focus on bettering yourself, your family, your children, your church, your community, your people, your nation, his kingdom, and all the people that attach themselves to the Hebrew people. We got to focus on this advancement. And as we focus on that, we ain't got to worry about nothing else, because he's telling us, I got your back. Are you with me here so far? So it's no more Greenwoods. It's no more Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's no more Rosewoods, all right? It's no more putting drugs in the communities, amen, to stifle. All right? That day is over. Listen to me. It's no more getting our leaders caught up in sin. No more getting them caught up in sin to open a door for the devil to assassinate. Because it's only when the doors of sin open that the devil can have his way with them. But the Bible says in John that when the man of God, the prophets of God, the women of God, that's leaders of the movement, when they keep themselves in God, God going to keep them from the enemy. Anybody hear me? Oh, y'all not. Y'all not. That day is over. It's advancement time. Malcolm X and Martin Luther King assassinations, over. Oh, y'all don't know. They don't hear me, man. They don't hear me up in here. It's advancement time. He's telling us in his word, I'm your rear guard. I got your back. And for those that's afraid, I ask you a question. Could God stop men from hurting another man? Is he strong enough? Is he wise enough? So listen, we're going to stop right there. And the word was more so prophetic for you. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. When you're afraid, you ain't going to get nothing accomplished. God ain't gave us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're going to let God be God. We're going to let God worry about what's coming from behind, what's coming by surprise. But we're going to move forward. We're going to move forward. We're going to move forward. How many people want to move forward with us? How many people want to move forward? Anybody want to move forward? How many people ready to reap 400 years? How many people ready to reap what our forefathers did? Did not we fast for the restoration? Did not we fast for the prosperity? Did not we fast for the awakening and the reunification of our people? And I believe just as we fasted, our God will answer our request. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right on time. Right on time. So listen to me. The altar is open. All right. This is our last Sunday of the fast. Okay. You're probably going to be eating by tomorrow night. I done gave my spot away. I'm going to see some of y'all at Waffle House probably. I'm joking. We're not going to do it. But ushers, you open the gates, and I feel the people of God need the altar because they're about to move forward. And there's some here, amen, you might not be saved, but salvation is easy. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Yahshua Jesus as your Savior. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Come up here, pray with us and confess him, and God's going to save you. With that being said, the altar's open. Come, come, come. Walk into your new season. Walk into your new season. Hallelujah. He's got our back.
Yes, Lord.
He's got your back. He's got your back. He's got your back. I'm going to call you because we got to get going. He's got your back, Mom. Teammate. He's got your back. Heard you've been fasting. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Appreciate that, Brian. He's got your back. Got your back, man. Hallelujah. Got your back, my brother. He's got your back. Ain't nothing like somebody who got your six, huh? That's what they call that. I got your six. Everybody else.